I call it the fangs. It's not my favorite people. But it's some of you filled out your favorite verses, and if you said you forgot to do that, yeah, you did. Yeah, the box is still out there, and I'll grab it today. But we're going to be for till we start our Christmas season at the end of November. I'll be doing people's favorite verses that they put down the slip and why. Then after Christmas, I'll finish that up. So if by chance you fill out a slip today and happens to make it out of box before I pull it, then I'll just keep adding on there. So she's here today, but Jackie, this is your favorite verse. So I entitled this sermon Jackie. So I'm going to preach about her sin, and the rest of you guys can just go back and whatever. So the question on that sheet is, what is your favorite verse and why? And typical Jackie, we're going to be in Hebrews, and the reason I start with this is we've been in Hebrews, and that summarizes what we've been saying about Hebrews. And she had put Hebrews chapter 1. And Jackie put, we had your favorite verse, your name, and why. And she said, because it's the definition of faith. And you know what, Jackie, you're going to hear me on tape say this, you're absolutely right. You're not going to hear that ever again, but no, I'm just kidding. So we're going to look at that today, the definition of faith. And that's a perfect verse to finish the series we did on the way of faith. And it is that this verse is the definition if you want to know what true faith is about. And I asked the question, do we really need faith? And the quote, George Michael from Wham, you got to have faith. Every day to trust, to believe, to hope. The problem is we struggle to have faith and know what faith really is and to define faith and then what to have faith in or who. And the way we feel about society today is we're finding more things not to believe in, more things not to trust, and more things not to have faith in. And we can choose, if we do have faith on, well, I can see that, I can feel that, therefore I can trust that. Or we can choose to have faith in the unseen, which is lasting. So your action step today is have faith in God. And yes, your points are going to spell out the word faith. And so your first point is if you're going to have faith, it needs to be faith in God. See, this is the problem. Now we need to unpackage that. And I don't feel like I'm not going to assume that. But a lot of people are calling different things and different ways God. I am talking about Jesus Christ from the Bible. If you do not have faith in Christ, it is not faith in God. Amen. And so therefore, let's just clear that up. So you got your first point, so we're doing better. Yeah. To have faith in God, you have to know what faith is. Is faith important? The Bible tells us that we must have faith to believe in God. And he gives us, we've studied for the past few weeks, the examples, and in Hebrews chapter 11, all that is, we studied one verse that had several examples in it. But if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, that whole chapter is examples of people that have had faith in God. Faith isn't a blind shot in the dark. It's not positive thinking. It's not arrogant presumption, like it's just the way it is. And it's not being gullible or naive. And a lot of people will either say Christians are being that, or they'll put their faith in this, but it's none of those things. Faith gives us confidence in God's promises and shows God that we trust Him. That's what faith does. Gives us confidence that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And it shows God we trust Him when we act upon the things He tells us. It's not a mental exercise. It's more than a mental exercise. It is an adjustment of our lives to conform to the Word of God. Let's talk about that for a minute. I believe God. I can't see God. God tells me to do this. That's when you're stepping into faith. Are you going to obey God or not? You are saved by grace, not by works, but faith that you trust God when he says something, you're going to do it. That's where the rubber meets the road. Am I going? So we need to have faith in God's word. The definition of faith, according to the Bible, is belief. Faith in the word of God, believing what God says is true. And faith is confidence in God, and it leads to a firm conviction that God will do what he says he's going to do. And when we're convicted about something, I don't mean in crime or we've done something wrong, but when we don't use that word much anymore, when we have conviction, we act on it. When we're sure that that is right, we act on it. Been doing a little bit of fixing up with the house that we moved into, and for years it was my in-law's house, and for years, like, they had these balconies that had that old vinyl railing on it, and the sides didn't even have railing, and I'm not afraid of heights, but when you're up about three stories and you step over the side and there's nothing there, how our kids survived, I don't know. But anyway, but we had to replace all those railings, and now it's up this high and it's metal and it's all the way around. And I got more faith that I can lean on that railing and not fall over, you know? And that's what conviction is. I saw those guys put it up. I know that it's metal. I see that it's screwed in pretty tight. I've done this kind of thing on it. I'm pretty have conviction that that's going to hold me up. Now, that daredevil cat on the third story will be sitting out there, and it thinks it can jump from there and hit the barbecue grill down there. I think it could. The result of it, I don't know what's going to happen there. Depends on if you're grilling too at the same time. But here's the deal. Yes, your pastor's sick. But we're talking about your next. And Jackie, I should be nice. It's reverse. I should be nice about cats. All right. So anyway, next point is this, because everybody told Pastor for the past 2 weeks he's been a little long in a sermon, so I'm stretching it out more because I go by the Holy Spirit. I'm usually about 20 to some minutes because I don't have time, but here, see, I'm stretching out for you because we got to. No, I'm just messing with you. So here we go. I'm not better, I'm bitter. But anyway, the next point is this: a conviction means this, assurance that God is true. A lot of people are doing this. When you step out in action, in faith, to believe what God is doing, that's assurance, that's conviction. We have a lot of conviction on stuff that doesn't matter. We need to have conviction on God's word. And that leads to action. What do you have faith in? What assures you? What are you convicted to do? Brings us to Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Like I said, this chapter is an overview and it's a study of faith. The first three verses are an introduction. The goal is to describe what good faith is for the church. And it shows how to use it. Nowhere in the Bible. See, Jackie did a good job. Nowhere in the Bible does it define faith. But here, think about that. So I think, yeah, the rest of the Bible talks about faith, but we're talking about the definition of faith. And so this is a pretty important verse. And so it's important that we see what faith really means. So Hebrews 11:1 says this: now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. So first of all, we define the word faith. Faith is assurance. It is believing. And some of the versions that you're reading is, you know, you see the word substance. And when it's talking about the reality. Substance is a legal term for proof of ownership of a piece of property. You know, we've been in the process of moving and stuff, and so going through the process of that ownership transferring from one person to another. And so think about that. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for. It is the substance. It is the fact that that reality is confidence, substance, title deed of what it is. And so faith goes beyond our internal attitudes and puts us in touch with the reality that we are trusting God. So your next fill-in, having faith in God means we must have faith. I had to play words. Indeed. Okay? that, and I added here, we own it. It is our reality. Think about that for a minute. You believe God so much that you act upon it. You're owning your faith. And in a society today, we're trying to be undercover Christians. And God, what do you do with Matthew 5:16, where he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven? You see what I'm saying? We can't be undercover Christians. We need to own our faith. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a Christian. I think we need to say more, I'm a follower of Christ. We need to understand terminology in our society today. I'm not ashamed at all to be a pastor. I'm not ashamed at all to be a Christian. But when we do Bible study, what does it mean? What does it say? What does it mean? How would you say it? Think of the strength of that, that you are a follower of Christ. And a lot of us, especially American Christians today, are not owning it. They are not owning their faith because we are being maligned and we are being misunderstood. And everything that I and everyone I am coming across when I talk to them one-on-one, that all dissipates. Stop listening to the liar. Own your faith. I am a follower of Christ. I believe in His Word. I follow His Word. That's taking title. That's taking ownership. The deed to your faith. Notice the next part. So now faith is the reality of what is hoped for. And the proof of what is not seen. So that hope and that proof is where the conviction, the evidence of what is not seen. Evidence mean is the idea of proof. The proof is actually in the Word of God. Faith is simply appropriate proof. You're having faith in God's Word. And when you act upon God's Word, that's evidence that you believe God's Word. Now, a lot of times, especially with Baptists, well, we're not about works. I'm not talking about being saved by works. I don't believe in that. We're saved by grace. The Bible talks about good works. And we don't do them to be saved, to stay saved, or anything like that. But there's proof in the fruit. And here, how is a lost world going to see that you are following Christ if you're just doing this? And your feet are doing nothing. And your hands are doing nothing. And your life is doing nothing.
Amen.
We have to have that evidence. When we believe God, and when we act upon what He says, it is showing evidence that God is true. Faith gives proof and is shown in conviction. And those who walk by faith in the Word of God will be people of conviction. See, again, let's go back to this word conviction. I don't think we're using it much anymore. But we need to understand, how many people do you see anymore that this is what they believe and they are not moving from it? I'm not taught that the demons believe in Jesus too, but that's not going to do them any good unless you act upon it, and they can't. Okay? But conviction is like, with God's help, I'm not moving off of this. And this is where I'm going. And we see that a lot with our brothers and sisters around the world, that more people are being persecuted for their faith than at any time in known history. Then you got a lot of Christians that are acting upon their faith, and they have conviction enough to die for it. I don't particularly want to die for it, but if I need to, that's the way it's going to be. But so many times, a lot of us will die for our faith if we don't live for it. Conviction. Your next villain. Having faith in God means that proves itself with conviction. So you have faith in God. You're showing assurance that God is true when you have faith. You're doing it indeed. You're taking ownership of it. And then the proof is that you don't budge off of it. Now again, I'm not talking about being one of those Christians that can't ever admit they're wrong or don't listen to people. Proverbs tells us that a wise man listens, and what I try to do based on Proverbs is, if there's a grain of truth in what you're telling me, I need to apply it to my life, and then throw out the rest if there's not the truth in it. But that conviction, we're talking about when God tells you something that's clear in His Word, you go with God. There are so many things we have conviction on that are just temporary. And we need to have that in God. Faith is the reality, the substance of what is hoped for, and the evidence that proves the unseen things are true. What kind of faith, what kind of hope is this? Because he talks about hope. So then you go to Romans 8:24. Now, in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? This hope is a hope that saves us eternally. We're not just hoping for a good Christmas present, or hoping for a good winter, or hoping for something like that. We are hoping for something eternally, that despite everything that's going on, that will eternally be saved and with God. It's a pretty big deal. And the hope is a hope in what is not seen. We all can figure this out. Hope has to deal with, you can't see it, you hope it happens. And so what he's saying here is nobody hopes in something they can see. Well, I hope that pew is there. Well, it's there. You may hope if it holds you up or not. I'm not saying anything about anybody, but that's a whole different story. Saving hope is expectation of good. It's expectation. It's great joy. It's confidence in that we will be eternally saved. So why the unseen? Because he says there, but hope that is seen is not hope. It's like I said, it's not hope if you can see it. And then that brings us, what is the focus of the unseen? And that brings us to 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. A person with faith lets the unseen things of God provide a living, effectual. A person with faith lets the unseen things of God. This is my handwriting. Unseen things of God provide a living, effective power for daily living. So let's unpackage that. That's real fancy, and I didn't mean to do that, but here we go. All of us, the things that we're going through in life. A lot of you are going through rough things. This life is not easy. You know, if you just went around on certain days, and God knows each day that you're going to have, he knows exactly their number. But if we just went off what we could see, all of us would give up. Maybe you're stronger than me, but I'd give up. If I didn't have hope in what this word is, see how we started? You have to have hope in the Word of God and conviction in the Word of God and faith in the Word of God. If I didn't know how it ended, or if I didn't know how the whole story went, eat, drink, and be merry, like Paul says, for tomorrow we die. But that is what our hope is not in now. Our hope is not in the temporary. Our hope is in the unseen, eternal, living God, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, having faith in God, here's your other fill in here. Boy, he's making up for the past 2 weeks. Wasn't trying, but see, it comes around. Okay? Having faith in God means this, hoping in what is unseen. Hoping in what is unseen. So look at these points here. You gotta have faith, but it better be in Jesus Christ. Some of you today need Jesus Christ to save you. Guess what? I needed him. I'm a man still need a savior. When we have a time of invitation here in a minute, come and get saved. But a lot of us, what's happening, you believe Jesus Christ, but you're adding faith in other things. Then assurance that God is true. When you have faith in God, you have the assurance that in his word that it is true. And a lot of you will swear up and down you believe God's word, but how are you living that out? Are you believing enough to act upon it? And is there enough evidence in your life to convict if you never said words that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you owning your faith, or are you trying to go under the wire? And it is a lot easier, especially now, to go under the wire because everybody's aiming at Christians. You know what? Love God. Love people. Hold your head high and follow God. Own it. Maybe that's where you're at. And it proves itself with conviction. A lot of you have, including me, have convictions about certain things. I'll try not to name who it is, but I have a conviction about biscuits and gravy. Okay? And my conviction is this. Somebody at one time was bragging about their gravy, and those of you know who it is, keep your mouth shut. Okay? They were bragging about their gravy. They were bragging all the time. So they brought their gravy. And I'm like, man, this does not taste right. And we're talking biscuits and gravy, right? Here's biscuits and gravy. It's got sausage in it, it's gravy, and you have biscuits. Got it? All right? Good bacon grease, something like that, sausage grease, whatever, okay? All right? I'm like, this does not taste right. And then they told me, oh, I've been perfecting this. It's got garlic in it. I put that thing down. I shoved it in the trash, tried to be nice, but I wasn't. And so I said, I think you broke about 5 Levitical laws. And then I ordered biscuits and gravy at my favorite place. And she goes, biscuits are a little cheesy. And I thought she meant because they're big. And I kept exploring. These biscuits are like, oh, I put cheese in. I'm like, are you saved? You know? And so I ate it, and I could barely taste the cheese, but mentally I'm thinking it's got cheese in it. Okay, so you're saying this. I say that. I have conviction about my biscuits and gravy. Okay? I really do. Who cares? Do you have conviction? I don't care about your convictions on stuff. Christians, we need to be convicted enough to believe God, that we act upon God, because a dying world is going to hell because we're keeping our mouths shut and we're doing nothing to show that we're following God.
Amen.
And a lot of you are going through junk right now, and you're bogged down, and the only thing that's keeping you going is it doesn't end like this.
That's right.
We're having a time of invitation. We need to pray or whatever. Whatever decision you need to make, have faith in God. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Because as the psalm says, He's on His throne. And we can have faith in God. And we can stay, but you have to choose to stay near His side. You have to choose, like the psalm says, to let Him guide you all the time. And so as we stand on our feet and have a time of invitation, the question today, you may have faith, but where are you at on this? Is it solely in God? Are you assured in it? Are you owning it? Are you enough that it is your conviction? And is it your hope in what you can see? Or is it in the unseen? Lord, however we need to be obedient to you, may we choose faith in Christ alone. In your name, Jesus.